has provided us with an overview. I'm going to give more of a research perspective in terms of looking at young worker health. And this is out of research on, I know, we didn't even coordinate. So I'm going to talk about research that comes out of the University of Miami Occupational Research Group. We utilize a lot of data on the surveillance national level. And before I continue, I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to give you kind of a bird's eye view of the data sets that we've used, specifically looking at young worker health issues, how they classify occupation, if it's representative or not. Actually, all of these are representative to the national, on the national level. Following that, I'll provide some examples specifically that we've done in terms of research. And then finally, just some considerations based on our experience. So the first survey is a National Health Interview Survey. It's a continuous survey, the national, nationally representative civilian, non-institutionalized population. There's a survey of about 35,000 households, meaning that it includes the individuals that live within the household. Utilizes proxy reporting, meaning once one adult is randomly selected. Certain population subgroups are also oversampled, including certain minority groups. And job classification is U.S. Census-based, as actually most of these data sets use, both on occupation and industry. And job classification starts at age 18, meaning we may not be able to capture the younger age groups that would be engaging in work, in addition to the fact that only an adult household member is actually interviewed, so the child's information is actually obtained through the adult. And in terms of variables of interest, every 5 years, NIOSH does have an occupational supplement, the most recent being in 2010. And there's a wealth of health information in the National Health Interview Survey, including healthcare utilization, access, health behaviors, health status, functional limitations. And there's also opportunity for longitudinal study with linkage with the National Death Index. Another survey that comes out of the NHIS, it's a subsample called the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. It's a subsample of about 30,000 individuals per year, and they use the same occupational coding for the same age group, 18 and over. And in addition to the healthcare access and utilization information available in NHIS, the MEPS uses more detailed information, including things like pharmacy usage, doctor visits. There's employer information available as well, so you can see specific characteristics. Also, these individuals are followed over 2 years, so you can see some subtle changes in health status for an individual. The next survey is the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. It's also a cross-sectional survey. It's performed every 2 years. Similar to the NHIS, there are certain population subgroups that are oversampled. Each year, about 5,000 people are interviewed. Uses similar job classification as does the NHIS. Based on the census. Occupation information is actually collected for those 16 and above. However, this is through proxy reporting and also only available for 16 and 17-year-olds through the Research Data Center, which provides another obstacle to obtaining that information. And the NHANES, in addition to having similar information on healthcare utilization and behaviors and health status, actually has more objective markers of health, including biological and physical measures. So you can see specific types of work exposures or work-related exposures. And they're actually also self-reported questions specific to work exposures. For example, exposure to tobacco smoke, organic and mineral dust, and noise. Unfortunately, this isn't available for all years, which causes some problems in terms of pooling data for samples for example, 18 to 24-year-olds, which would be of a group of interest. The next two surveys I'm going to discuss are longitudinal surveys. This is a sample of about 9,000. This is out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth. There was one in 1979. This is the 1997 version, which is more recent. These are individuals who are aged 12 to 17 in 1997, and they've been followed through every single year. And there's information also available on one parent at baseline. In terms of job classification, before they're legally allowed to work through an employer, they do ask information on freelance, whether or not they're self-employed. So you can capture things like informal work and also for younger age groups compared to the other data sets that I mentioned. In addition, since it's longitudinal, you can also capture additional information over time to see whether or not work characteristics at youth may impact future health behaviors and outcomes. There's also specific information in terms of educational trajectories. For example, there you have cognitive testing information, high school transcripts. And in terms of health outcomes, there is information on fertility history, sexual behaviors, and drug and alcohol use. The last study is a national longitudinal study of adolescent health. This is out of the UNC Carolina Population Center. These are individuals at baseline, 1994 to 95, were in grades 7 through 12, and these comprise four waves of data. And the final wave was in 2008, with a final N of about 15,000 individuals. In terms of job classification, the first two waves really only captured whether or not the adolescent was working or not, and whether or not it was seasonal work, if it was summer or non-summer. More detailed information in terms of the type of work is available in Wave 3 and 4, where it's also U.S. Census-based. Variables of interest include the amount of money earned, the number of hours worked, so you can see work intensity, and there's a wealth of information in terms of contextual factors, including neighborhood, social issues, psychological, physical, and other types of behaviors. And also for Wave 4, there are biological data available, including genetic information, which you can actually see more comparisons. One of our research projects utilized the NHIS. We pulled data from 2004 to 2010, and we produced a monograph utilizing 39 health indicators, which we can actually find on our website, which I'll show at the end. And we isolated workers that were age 18 to 24, and we separated these indicators into four domains: medical conditions, which included things like obesity and asthma, and also we looked at functional capabilities, hearing impairment, visual impairment, and we also looked at healthcare utilization indicators, for example, whether or not an individual went to a primary care physician within the past 12 months, whether or not they were able to access or avoided accessing care due to cost, and the final domain was in health behaviors, which included things like risky drinking and current smoking. And in this scenario, we actually utilized U.S. Census-based occupational groupings that were split up into nine groups. The next project was utilizing the NLSY, which is the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth. In this example, we actually looked at how events in childhood or in adolescence might predict trajectories in terms of occupational prestige and income. In this particular example, we found no correlations in terms of trajectories for men associated with these childhood victimization events. However, for women, there was significant associations. So as you can see here on the right, income increases over time for women overall. But for those who had one or two victimization events, actually the trajectory was not as high. Also using the NLSY, we were able to evaluate different types of work experience in youth, adolescents, and also see how it actually is associated with risky sexual behaviors. So for example, here we used this is the equation we utilized in terms of looking at sexual behaviors, looking at ever having sex, condom use within the last sexual encounter, and number of partners, and then also looking at different employment characteristics, for example, predominant type of employment, formal versus non-formal, and also the number of hours worked. And there were significant negative associations with informal work in boys, relative to girls. And just based on our experiences, one of the main limitations is often capturing the right younger age groups. For example, the NHIS and NHANES occupational data were really only available for the older, younger worker, I guess. So it would be important to perhaps leverage those existing surveys to see if we can extend it to the younger age groups to capture work experiences at youth and capture them over time. And also including things related to informal work experiences, such as babysitting and things that are not necessarily in standard occupational classifications. And actually, coming up in the 2015 NHIS, they're anticipating the occupational health supplement, and they're actually currently taking suggestions for what types of questions to ask. And this might be an arena that would be important to address and suggest in terms of them expanding occupational-related questions to youths below the age of 18. And all of these projects and information came from the University of Miami Occupational Research Group, You can find information on our monographs at umiami.org.com and also at fly.co, which is a specific project we engaged in on Florida young employees. Thank you very much.